It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, and you can call in with our 800 number or our local numbers, too.
That would be 247-7282 and 353-4674.
And Wes Collins is in the studio, but Wes, where's Cecil today, huh?
Cecil's out today. I guess he's playing in the snow somewhere. But listen, I've got Andrew Foster here. He's an attorney with us at our office. I think that he does
the tax program on
Thursday.
That's
so
right.
I asked Andrew to come in and speak with me today. Andrew does a lot of the estate-related work in our office. He's kind of the boots on the ground with regard to, you know, many of the twists and turns of estates that we deal with. Of course, I deal with more of the litigation side of things.
Well, Andrew, it's always good to have you in.
Yep.
Good to see you, Ben.
Yeah. All right. We get twice this week, then, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Get Andrew twice. So what we thought we'd talk about, you know, Cecil and I last week talked a little bit about some estate administration. We had some good calls with regard to, you know, what if I find a will? What do I have to do? Do I have to put it on record? You know, some of these type things. So what we wanted to talk about today was kind of a subsection of estate administration, really, as it relates to spouses. Then the law in North Carolina is so very important and so interesting in dealing with a surviving spouse. Now, your typical situation where you have husband and wife and you leave everything to each other, I mean, that's pretty pro forma, straightforward stuff. But when you have situations such as maybe a second or third marriage, maybe children from a previous marriage, maybe there's an interest in maybe the one spouse that has more asset, leaving it directly to their kids, those kind of things. Well, the law in North Carolina is very strong as it relates to protecting the rights of that surviving spouse. We're going to talk today about several different issues with regard to that. Some of them, the issues being the elective share. We're going to talk about spousal support briefly, maybe talk about the intestate succession rights. That's in the event that there's not a will.
Right.
But let's start out with what's called the North Carolina elective share. Now, this is a very powerful statute. And what it allows a surviving spouse to do is that within a six-month period of time after the death of the decedent, it allows for the surviving spouse to file with the court the right to an elective share.
It doesn't come automatically.
It does not. And 6 months is a hard and fast rule. It's a very short statute of limitations on that. And also, it's important to note when we're talking about this elective share that this claim of elective share has to be made by the actual surviving spouse, not by their surviving spouse's estate.
Oh, really?
Right. Okay. So let's say that
the attorney wouldn't make the claim?
Well, an attorney could on behalf of their living client.
Okay, right.
But let's say we have husband and wife, husband passes away, and then 3 months later, the spouse passes away, the wife passes away, but has not filed the elective share yet. You can't do it. Okay? It has to be filed during the time period that the person is living, the surviving spouse. And now that may be done individually. It may be done through a power of attorney. If there's a guardianship in place, it may be done, you know, under any, it just has to be, the person has to be living.
Right.
It has to be within 6 months. Now let's get down to the details here about what this means. And I brought a section of the statute with me, so I want to somewhat read from this. But there's different time frames depending on how long you've been married as it relates to how much you get from.
Right.
Your deceased spouse's estate. So we start out with less than 5 years. In the event that the marriage is less than 5 years, then the surviving spouse is entitled to 15% of the decedent's net assets. Okay. In the event that it's between 5 and 10 years, it goes up to 25%. 10 to 15 years, 33%. And for a marriage over 15 years, the surviving spouse receives 50% of the net assets.
Right.
Okay. That's pretty significant in many cases.
Now, that's intestate? Is it always intestate?
No. It could be.
Is this off the top of whatever the will might say, too?
Well, Andrew, I think it's the time for you to talk about the details.
Yeah,
but the term in the statute is total net assets.
Right.
So there is a calculation that has to take place so we determine what is included in the total net assets.
That's why that inventory is so important.
That's right. And then also we have to look at things such as transfers within the year prior to the death.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at what did the surviving spouse receive outside of the probate assets, like life insurance, maybe even a tenants by entirety home that would offset how much is received.
But because it's net total assets, and life insurance comes into that too, right?
Into the calculation. That's right. So what's so very important to remember there is that, you know, if there's a situation where there's a marriage and the spouse passes away and we're within the six-month period of time, then that right to make that elective share has to be made within the six-month period of time. And we have dealt with multiple cases where, you know, a little bit of involvement from an attorney, from us, has saved our client, the surviving spouse, in these second, third marriages, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So it's very powerful, but if you don't use it, you don't get it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And then some of the details here, Andrew.
Yeah, Ben, you mentioned a key fact here. How do you calculate it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think our listeners will be very surprised at the definition of total assets of the estate. You know, typically, Ben, when we talk about an estate administration, we talk about probate assets and we talk about non-probate assets.
Mm-hmm.
Probate assets are typically what goes out under the will or through intestate succession, meaning that they're held solely in the decedent's name and they pass out according to those laws.
Right.
Then non-probate assets, you know, you may have a joint account with right of survivorship that passes automatically upon the decedent's date of death. You may have a TOD or POD designation. Even life insurance and IRAs, which typically aren't even found on an inventory for decedent's estate,
right,
are embodied in this total asset category.
Hmm.
So let's start kind of at the beginning, and I mentioned probate assets. Of course, those are going to be included in the total estate. So those could be anything from personal property to cars that are titled in the decedent's name,
mm-hmm.
To bank accounts or investment accounts that are titled in the decedent's name only. Then you move over to property that could even be held in a revocable trust by a decedent,
mm-hmm.
Or POD accounts or TOD accounts, transfer on death, payable on death accounts. To typically pass outside of the will
right.
or intestate succession.
But that's, again, we're looking at total assets, so that would be part of that.
Exactly. Looking at total assets, so that would be part of it. Then you move over, and as I mentioned, life insurance, accidental death benefits, annuities, employee benefits, IRAs, pension plans, deferred compensation. And then, as Wes even mentioned, even gifts that mm-hmm. are made within 1 year of the decedent's date of death gets sucked back in to this total asset category.
Hmm.
So as you can see, Ben, we're kind of not leaving anything out.
Right.
It's extremely broad. And so even assets that people, you know, can potentially get in their hands can be clawed back by the personal representative to help pay for an elective share claim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's total assets.
Right.
Okay. The total net assets, I think, was kind of what you were getting at. What do you exclude? And the answer is that any claims that are filed against the estate that are paid out of the estate
right.
are, of course, going to be deducted from total assets.
So that means some of those first claims like funeral fees?
You're exactly right, Ben. Mm-hmm. Funeral fees, taxes.
Attorney's fees.
Attorney's fees, mm-hmm. cost of administration. Those are going to be deducted from total assets. And then also... any liabilities, you know, in contract or otherwise, mm-hmm. can be paid out of this total assets to reduce them. But you're exactly right. I mean, any other funeral or estate administration costs would come off as well. And that's pretty much it. So it's very limited on the deduction side,
mm-hmm.
but very, very broad on the what's included in the total asset category.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll look some more at this, too, coming up in a moment here. And your questions are welcome. If you would like to call in, Mandy will answer.
800-818-2255, 247-7282, and 353-4674.
All right. We'll have more to come in just a moment. Again, as we're talking about estates, and if you have questions, it's a good time to call us and ask your questions of Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240, and we're glad to have you along with us here, too, as Wes Collins and Andrew Foster are talking about estates, and we're talking about the spousal elective share and when that gets in. Now, I had a question that came up for that as well.
Yeah, are there reasons to not choose the spouse's elective share?
Yeah, if you don't want any money.
That makes sense.
No, really, it could be a situation where there's not a will. And therefore the intestacy laws kick in.
Right.
And it could be under the circumstances that you receive more under the intestacy laws than you would under the elective share.
You might get half.
Well, exactly. It depends on the circumstances, how many kids are surviving, you know, that type thing. But, that is exactly why you need legal counsel to guide you through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could be in a situation where it could be, you know, a $10,000, $15,000, $50,000, $100,000 decision there,
mm-hmm.
As it relates to the interplay between the Intestate Succession Act and that share or the elective share that you would receive based on the circumstances.
Now, we said this elective share has to be taken in that first 6 months, but there's another spousal support, right? Isn't
right.
that a number that comes off the top sort of at the beginning, or does that have to be elected?
Yes,
well.
It does, Ben. There's a spousal allowance in North Carolina. It was $10,000 for a number of years. It moved up to $20,000, and now it's actually up to $30,000. And it's critical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a situation where you have maybe an intestate estate with no will for the spouse to make this election, because it's taken, creditors are not included.
Right.
So it's taken off the top, so to speak. So therefore,
basically with that first set of payments, right?
Exactly, first set of payments. So it's critical that a spouse take advantage of that and claim their $30,000. And it's even possible, Ben, depending on how well off the mm-hmm. the spouse was, to even make a claim for more than the $30,000. You can actually make a claim for up to half of the amount of income that the spouse had coming in,
mm-hmm.
So that could even be you know, increased from $30,000, but $30,000 is the minimum. So it's very important, and that has to be claimed within 1 year of the decedent's date of death.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it can be claimed by the personal representative, it can be claimed by the surviving spouse, but someone has to claim it for the surviving spouse, or else it's deemed waived.
So you have overlapping instances here.
Exactly. Yeah. And to go back a little bit, Ben, to what you were mm-hmm. talking about with Wes and the question, I've sat down with clients before and we've gone through what their spousal rights are and we've run the numbers. I mean, that's the only way to do it, to
right.
determine what you should do. You know, if you've got an intestate estate, you run the intestate numbers. If you got the elective share, you run the elective share numbers. And then there's also a way for spouses to claim a life estate
mm-hmm.
in one-third of the decedent's real property. So you run those numbers. Sometimes you get a spouse who's very, very concerned. I don't want to get kicked out of my house.
Right.
I want to stay in my house. And you're having to explain to them that sometimes the intestate succession laws allow the children
exactly.
to be co-owners,
yes.
tenants in common
mm-hmm.
of this property. And sometimes that outweighs, you know, kind of the monetary gain, so
right.
to speak. But the important thing is that you sit down and you get professional advice and you run the numbers and you say, here's option one, you know, intestate succession.
Mm-hmm.
Here's option two, elective share. Here's option three, life estate in the property. And then you make an informed decision. Because otherwise, if you're out there kind of willy-nilly guessing, you know, you may end up making the wrong choice and there's no going back.
Mm-hmm. Now we have talked a lot about how after someone dies, sometimes you don't have to act immediately. You need to let some things, give yourself some time, for example, but also let some of the bills come in or the inventories. You got to
right.
find out what everything is there. But immediately, maybe not, but 6 months comes
right.
up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that timing is so very important with regard to this. You know, we've had multiple clients come in and just ask general questions. They don't really know exactly what they're entitled to.
Right.
As far as timing or length of share, anything like that. And, you know, and lo and behold, you know, we're at month 5.5 or 4.5 and, you know, they were kind of wishy-washy. Oh, I didn't know if I wanted to come in, didn't think we can do anything. And then here we are, and we've had clients come in a year later, and it's too late to make the elective share. So, I mean, that timing is so very important, and that's just kind of the way that we just live our lives as attorneys.
Sure.
Especially in the context of litigation that I deal with. My goodness, everything is so much on a time frame, a statutory time frame as it relates to, you know, filing things and clients' rights and so on and so forth, because we have if you miss those deadlines, then you can't go back, you know. So we just don't miss deadlines. It just doesn't happen.
Can you amend the claim? I mean, once you've made it, can you amend it?
I mean, you probably could, but it's not a complicated document.
Okay.
It basically just indicates that I'm making my claim for elective share, and it needs to be properly filed and properly served.
I guess my question is, what if you don't know of some asset?
Might as well file it anyway.
You file it anyway. And
yeah.
Then, okay.
You can withdraw it.
That could still be included.
Let's say that we file it and then we learn more about the estate and decide we'd rather just take our intestate succession. Once you file it, you can withdraw it.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I don't see anything in the statute that indicates that you're bound by that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ben, you kind of see here why in these type situations, you almost need like the estate guy, like the Andrew, who's the boots on the ground, like I said, and potentially the litigation guy to gather the information, because we really are having to, in some of these cases, use the mechanics of the rules of civil procedure and the estate administration rules to gather the information so as to fully understand what our claim might be.
Right.
We hope that when we're dealing with an estate, and we're making a claim against that estate, that the inventories that are in the inventories that are filed and accountings that are filed with the court are accurate, but they're not always accurate. So, and also, as I indicated before, we were adding up the net assets. We've got to look at what's transpired over the previous year before the death too, because those transfers, if there were any, are clawed back into the estate.
Right.
So, you know, You may find yourself in a situation where, you know, the attorney is needing to conduct discovery. Let's get bank records.
Right.
We're not just going to go with what potentially you say was in the estate. Let's get the bank records so we can see what happened over the previous 12 months. You know, so we get into the, you know, rules of civil procedure with regard to discovery. Sometimes we may need to get into hearings before the clerk of court with regard to the discovery of assets. Depending on the circumstances, we may need to file a motion to stay proceedings in the estate. So it can get somewhat complicated in order to properly calculate what that elective share recovery would be.
All right. Well, there's more to come in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And if you'd like to call in, Mandy is standing by.
Call me at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, and 353-4674.
The law is increasingly complex, and the growing staff of Harvell & Collins stands ready to untangle your legal challenges. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, along with associates Russell Alexander and Andrew Foster, practicing in all areas of civil practice, including estate planning, elder law and asset protection, representation of the elderly, collections and foreclosures, corporate and business, and also civil trial practice in these and all other civil matters. Call to arrange your free initial consultation at 252-726-9050. Plus, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins answer your questions live each Tuesday morning at 7:30 on Let's Talk Legal. Tune in to Coastal Daybreak Tuesday mornings at 7:30 on the Talk Station and call in with your legal questions.
I had a property issue in the sense that I've got some pretty tall pine trees, and they're inside my fenced area, but my neighbor wants to cut down the trees, concerned that trees are going to fall over and damage a building that he's built. Can he do that?
If it's your question, it's important to Harvell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City. Hey, welcome back here on the Let's Talk Legal with Harbell and Collins, Attorneys at Law. And we're talking about, again, the spousal, the
elective share. Right.
Yep. Elective share. And you mentioned briefly about prenups. Is that something that can alter how this works out?
Yeah, definitely, Ben. The other way that you kind of see this is you have clients that come in that maybe are on their second or third marriage and have children from a previous marriage that they really want to protect. Now, they want to make sure their spouse is taken care of, but they don't want her to be able to, use this elective share mechanism to come in and claw back some of these assets.
They want their kids still to have
something. Yeah, they want their kids to get something. Yeah. Exactly right. And so one way to do it is through a premarital agreement, and you can actually waive the elective share during this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
There's also ways to set up a trust for the spouse, which can satisfy the elective share.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have enough assets in the trust to satisfy the elective share. Or there's ways to, Wes mentioned that these gifts during the 1 year of the mm-hmm. estate are come back into them.
I like the phrase clawed back in.
but there's ways to give gifts, prior to the 1 year mark,
mm-hmm.
And lessen your estate. Or there's even the possibility of before marriage, there's actually a case in North Carolina that says you can set up an irrevocable trust prior to marriage. Now we know that has some gift tax consequences, but it might be worth your while if that's something that you really want to do. So there are ways to plan around the elective share.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you think you're in that type of situation where you want to make sure your kids are taken care of, but you want to protect your spouse as well, you want to sit down and become fully informed about what your options are.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you had a situation where a will was present and the will did not leave the spouse very much, do you still have elective share possibilities there?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Absolutely. You got to look at the interplay between what is left to the surviving spouse compared to what the statute guarantees you through their elective share.
Right. Probably the time frame plays a lot into that in terms of how long they were married. And all
oh,
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no question about that. I mean, obviously, when we go to 15 years, it goes from a third,
mm-hmm.
from 10 to 15 years is a third, mm-hmm. and then it goes to 50% over 15 years.
Right.
It's much less in the first 10 years. So, half of the estate, that's pretty significant. You might, kind of wonder why does the General Assembly give such, power, such rights?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that generally across the board, when we look at how states have dealt with an elective share, they see a marriage as a partnership.
Right.
So it really is
as a covenant.
It really exactly. It really is part and parcel of maybe even your partnership laws with regard to business partnership,
mm-hmm.
where they don't want one partner to be able to just by will or other mechanism, trust or whatever
destroy.
It might be, just destroy the partnership mm-hmm. unilaterally.
Mm-hmm.
And they see the partnership strengthening with time. If you've been together 5 years, you get so much. 10, 15, over 15. 50-50 partnership.
Well, you have in military arrangements with pensions. Depends
right.
a lot on how long you've been married.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, right. Your rights are based on that time frame. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've deemed a public interest in seeing that partnerships, like you said, or covenants as they are recognized from the state
yep.
are upheld.
That's right. They are upheld.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stand up for yourself and make that election.
All right.
Doesn't just happen automatically.
Find out more by calling on the folks at Harbell and Collins, Attorneys at Law, 252-726-9050.